I'm ready. Ready. So, okay. Hey, everyone, welcome from multiple countries and islands and stuff. The title is Identity, so I guess the longer title would be Identity, the Battle for It. The basis of this teaching will be out of Psalm 88. It's only 18 verses, so we're actually going to read that psalm. So, as I'm doing the intro, you should be getting a Bible, and always for good teachings, you always should get some paper. It's always good to do that. So get your Bible, start finding Psalm 88, and we're going to read through that. I'll read it out loud, and you can read along. As we read through that, which I haven't started yet, you may be triggered in this because the story or the situation, circumstances in 18 is kind of depressing. So hang on because we're going to go from this level of sad story to becoming really the victorious overcomers that we are. Okay. And we'll go from, it talks about in the word, we go from strength to strength and glory to glory. And that's what happened in the session. A little bit more history. In my study Bible, it says that a guy named Heman, an Ezraite, wrote this psalm. And the guy's name in Hebrew means faithful, okay? But as we read through it, you'll see that it's really a natural response to the ways or circumstances that this guy experienced. And as believers, as people who are born from above, who are new creatures in Christ Jesus, we need to not just see the acts of power or the things that go on, we need to understand the ways of the Lord in interpreting our circumstances and the things that happen, okay? So, the verse that I kind of triggered me to go here in Psalm 8 is verse 12, I think it is. It talks about the land of forgetfulness. And as I was going through this chapter, I was getting understanding that the enemy will use circumstances, things, and stuff, and people, and words and frequencies to move us into this place. If he can get us to this land, to this mindset of forgetting who we are through the use of circumstances and tough situations, then we become really sitting ducks. If you forget who you are or don't have a strong grasp of your identity, you're a target, and targets become victims, and that's not who we are. So when Jesus and Jesus came into relationship, he took you out of darkness into light. He brought you out of being bad off into a victorious place. Okay. So by now you should have your Bible. You should have Psalm 88 found, and you probably started reading, but don't do that quite yet. As I was preparing for this session, the Lord said, the more you know, the more you can go. And I was going, okay, the more I know, the more I can go. And he said, for those that are who are watching or partaking in this session, if they believe this word is true for them, which they ought to, that if you receive it, it's the more you know, the further on your journey you will go. And it's just not a know of knowledge, it's a know of the goodness of God and the knowing who you are. And the more you know who you are, the more you're victorious in what you do. And so, if you're ready for Psalm 88, let's begin. So, I'm reading out of the Amplified. O Lord, the God of my salvation. Again, so if you have questions anywhere through here, you can raise your hand or say, excuse me, and we'll deal with that. So, and there's a few activities on the tail end of this, or kind of the middle portion. So, but questions are always welcomed and any time. So, Psalm 88, verse 1. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried out for help by day and in the night before you. Let my prayer come before you and enter into your presence. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit, to the grave. I am like a man who has no strength, like a mere shadow, a castaway, an abandoned among the dead, like the slain who lie in a nameless grave, whom you no longer remember, and they are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in the dark places, in the depths. Your wrath has rested heavily upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put my friends far from me, and you have made me an object of loathing to them. I am shut up, and I cannot go out. My eye grows dim in sorrow. O Lord, I have called on you every day. I have spread out my hands to you in prayer. Will you perform wonders for the dead? Shall the departed spirits arise and praise you? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon, the underworld? Will your wonders be known in the darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness, where the dead forget and are forgotten? But I have cried to you, O Lord, for help, and in the morning my prayer will come to you. O Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you hide your face from me? I was afflicted and close to death from my youth on. I suffered your terrors. I am overcome. Your fierce wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. They have surrounded me like a flood, waters all day long. They have completely encompassed me. Lover and friend, you have placed far from me, and my familiar friends are in darkness. So, as I'm reading this, and I've read it, these 18 verses probably, 10, 15 times. The first 5 times, I'm thinking, there's not a single scripture that I'm going to memorize. And this chapter should be taken out because there's nothing here. And I kept reading it because I knew there was something here. And I was like, going, God, this is bad. And this isn't you. You're not rejecting people. You're not throwing things on them. You're not. And I kept reading over and over again. I'm going, God, why is this in the Bible? And he was saying something like, well, because you're reading it from the natural. Okay? And what we're going to do is understand this chapter in this man's life, in the life of a body of believers, of what's going on here. And the key to understanding this scripture, and actually all scriptures, is really looking at it from the Father's eyes, right? We've got to be in Him, see life, the Word, everything needs to be interpreted from, if you were in Hebrews chapter 4 or 5, you'd say from that place of rest. If you were in a conference, you may say in Him or in Jehovah, in the midst of the lion, ox, eagle, man, in the middle of Him, we need to live and breathe and have our being because our life is hidden in Him. If you look at life and circumstances from Him, it changes everything. So that very sad 18 verses that we saw, we're going to see in a second the way the enemy attacks, the way we respond in our soul, the way our soul gets crushed by the things. But more importantly, we're not going to stay crushed. We're not going to stay surrounded by stuff. We're not going to be just beat down and undone. When I was asked to do this teaching, I didn't know that a week later, or less than a week later, I was going to go down to New Orleans to actually see, you know, people that were flooded. I mean, the verse 17, they have surrounded me like a flood, waters all day long. They have completely encompassed me. And so I was actually, the first house we helped help was the, this house was completely under, 5 feet underwater, and everything in their house had to be gutted, you know, and thrown to the curb. And so I got to see, you know, this verse live and up close and in person. And I'm looking at this place going, how does someone, and then ended up the lady who lived there was a believer. And I'm thinking, how do you face this total loss? I mean, nothing, you know, nothing left. And how do you face this in reality? And not just want to, you know, throw your hands up and curse God, right? And we're going to look at that now. How do we deal with, you know, hard stuff in real life, okay? Again, a key to interpreting life is really from the Spirit. We need to read, live, and interpret circumstances from our place in Him. Because, again, our life is, we live and move and have our being in Him. Our life is hidden in Him. Okay, you no longer have to see things from a dark place or a dim place or a land of things are confused or like that, because He's our Father and He's like taking care of us. The author of this psalm, you know, the guy, I think he didn't realize that, he didn't know. Anyway, so, but we're not him. Ephesians 5:8 says, for once you were in darkness. Actually, it says, not you were in darkness. X says, for you were darkness. Ephesians 5:8, so if you want to flip there to the New Testament, hold your thumb in Psalm 88 because we're coming back. But for once in the beginning, you were darkness. And I was like, what? And that verse 18 says, my familiar friends were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of the light. And lead your lives. Live your lives as those native born to the light. So when we get come up, when we're taken out of darkness, from darkness into light, we need to, and that's good because now we're going to heaven for sure. But now that we're still on earth with the promise of eternal salvation, we need to live and walk on this planet as people who are no longer darkness, but we're light. We need to see things from the light, in the light, because we are light now. Okay. And what happens is sometimes people get saved and they don't realize that they have a new source of life, and their life is we live by faith and not by sight or the things we see in our circumstances. So welcome to the call. And so we're in Ephesians 5:8 right now and about to jump into Psalm 88. And the thing about the life we now live, Jesus is now gives us an option. We can live from our past in darkness, or we can live in our now present and future from a place of rest, a place of light, a place of hope, a place of goodness, a place in the kingdom, the other side of the veil, all this good stuff. But it's a choice, right? He is the way, the truth, and life. So he's made the way, but will you walk his way, or will you live your old way? Okay? If I was Hebrew, I'd say Selah and think about that for a second. But you should ponder that. When things are going good or bad, are you viewing it from your past? Are you viewing it from your circumstances? Are you viewing it from your understanding? And we get the Psalm 3, lean not upon your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And that's, again, it's a choice. You have the choice to look at it your way, the old way, or look at it his way. So, and I'm encouraging you to walk as light because we're in the light, okay? Psalm 27:13 talks about another land. There's a land of the living. Psalm 27 verse 13. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Well, if you choose to not believe and live from your past, you will live like Psalm 88. Everything that the enemy does, you'll be praying, God, help me, help me, help me, but not believing. You'll be believing in the land of forgetfulness, lost identity, and not your new identity as a child of light. If you forget to believe and look, you will enter into the land of forgetfulness, the land of woe is me, land of this is hard, the land is God doesn't love me, the land of always lies, L-I-E-S, and the place of confusion. But we're not going to forget, okay? We're going to be the ones that remember who we are, okay, and understand our Father's ways, and are not ignorant of the enemy's strategies, okay? Psalm 27, verse 13, in the literal translation, or Young's literal translation says, I had not believed to look on the goodness of Jehovah in the land of the living. Okay, it's an option here. This guy forgot to look, and he missed out. And that's us too. If we choose, the Bible says in the New Testament, sorry, I don't have the reference, all things are possible for those who believe. Okay, so when we're in the midst of something, whether it be a natural flood like the folks in Louisiana, I mean, there's one city that we went into that 92% of the houses were totally destroyed. I'm like, what do you do there? Do you rejoice in the Lord, or do you put your hands on your face and say, FEMA, you're my source? And I met both sets of people. It was wild. Anyway, the New King James Version of Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay. And so our heart, our choices, but it's all about, will you believe what you see, what you feel, what you experience, or will you believe what the Lord has done and is doing and what he's promised? Okay? And sometimes this is very hard when stuff is very real right in front of you. You know? Okay? I guess if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, is a great set of verses that helps us to start living the high life or the kingdom life that you're called to live in. It's a life that where your God, my God, has unveiled what's going on, and he's revealing to you stuff, not to your natural mind and eyes and stuff, but he says the first line in that verse 10 of chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it's our Father is revealing things to us by the Spirit, not to your soul, not to your great intellect, not to your not so great intellect, but to your spirit, which is awesome. Okay, and we've got to learn to live from the inside out and not from the outside in. We've got to learn to live from the kingdom of God and not from the kingdom of earth. We've got to learn to live from his mind, the mind of Christ, and not the mind of whoever your names are, right? We have the option. When Jesus, I've come to give, you know, I am the way, he gave you a way to live. And so you can choose to live his way, or your old way, or some friend's way, or what their way, or the best way. The best way is his way. We got to figure that out, okay? And that's what we're doing today. So make a note for bonus understanding to walk in the Spirit. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. So I hope you got pen and paper and wrote that down. Okay, so now, with our eyes open, trusting the Lord, not in our understanding, walking in the light, let's read and see the proper ways to respond to Psalm 88. So now we're going to chew on Psalm 88 the second time, but now we're going to look at it as people who are born from above, who know who they are, and they're not going to give up their identity. Because all these situations, circumstances, are wanting to press you to the place where you're conformed by the ways of the world and not transformed into the kingdom. Okay, so, verse 1. And we're throwing an activity in here too. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I've cried out for help by day and the night before you. Now, I know people who've said, Wally, I did this praying thing. I asked for God for help, and he did not help me. Okay. And they tell me their story, or in this last weekend, I saw destroyed houses, you know. And they look at you and say, you see, God doesn't love me because if he loved me, he'd help me. Okay. That's viewing life, situations, and circumstances from the enemy's perspective and from the circumstance perspective and not from God revealing. Okay. Verse 2. Let my prayer come before you and enter into your presence. Incline your ear to my cry. Well, I'm praying right. For my soul is full of troubles. Okay. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near the grave. This is bad. This is despair. This is the pressure and force that drives people to, you know, committing suicide. To just throw it all in because if you've been that place, and I've been there a few times where it doesn't seem there's a way out, right? The pressures, there doesn't seem to be any help. And you've prayed in tongues, you got your promises out, and it seems like nothing's working. And at this point here, this is where you have to still believe, okay? And it's just believe. I was in the hospital once. All the stuff I knew was not working. And I was like, God, where's the angels? Where's you? I've had encounters. It's time for an encounter. Nothing happened. And it was just like, do you going to believe or not? And it was not, it was like, but weren't you showing up? Weren't you doing stuff that's in my book? Stuff. And nothing was going on. And all I had was to choose to believe my circumstances, of all the numbers and the beeping and the sounds, the doctor's words, the nurse's words, or to believe what I knew was true. Okay? And I'm telling you, you got to believe. I'm counted among those who go down to the grave. So he's not counting himself like he's not embracing his true identity. Now he's accounting with everything that's going bad. Skip on down to verse 7. Your wrath, now he's blaming God. Your wrath has rested heavily upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves, Selah. And when I read all your waves, the Holy Spirit said, those are frequencies. And I was like, okay, uh-oh. And now I was getting an understanding of the strategy of the enemy. And the enemy wants to use words from people you like, people who you thought were like family and friends, sometimes to add on to the pressures, to be almost in agreement with your circumstances. You know, and they may mean well, but they're echoing what is seen and not echoing or declaring what the Father has said. And when those waves of words, waves or circumstances, just like if you've ever been in the ocean and stood there, and I'm not a big guy, but if a big wave, you know, a foot taller than you hits you, it has a tendency to knock you off your balance. And when circumstances hit that hard, bam, 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 when those waves come over you, it's tough. It is very tough. And so, the Lord was showing me when the enemy tries to keep repeating stuff, those waves, those frequencies, I was going, God, I'm getting depressed thinking about this, and I've got to deliver this message. I need some victory here. And he says, okay, when the enemy tries to throw waves and releases frequencies over you, you need to counter that. And I'm like, okay, what's the answer? He said, release your own wave. And I'm like, what? Okay, well, first of all, you know, in the New Testament, in the book of John, it says, out of your innermost being flows rivers of water. So you have the ability to release a wave against the enemy's wave. Okay, that's a bonus. I got to write that down for me. Yes, but you need to counter the enemy's waves with your own frequencies. What is that? He told me, Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I was like, oh my goodness. Are you saying that we can call upon you? He says, no. When the enemy is releasing its waves, I'm already singing. You got to believe that. I said, okay. When it feels bad, looks bad, smells bad. It smelled bad in Baton Rouge. It was bad. I've never smelled stuff that sour. So back to here. When all is going bad, the enemy is releasing waves and frequencies. The Father is releasing a song, which is a frequency. And the Lord said, you also can release a frequency. And I was like, what? He said, you need to start singing over yourself. If you want victory in the midst of this kind of destruction, this kind of crisis, this kind of turmoil, remember the Father singing over you, Zephaniah 3:17, and you need to release a song. And some of you are saying, I don't sing. Let me tell you, there's a song in your belly, okay? I don't know the words. That's why the power of tongues is so important. You don't know how to sing or pray or speak, you get a rhythm going, and you start singing out in tongues. This is activity number one. Activity number one is we're going to sing for our deliverance. Why? We're imitating our Father. If the Father God sings over us with songs of deliverance or rejoices over singing, and the enemy is trying to release something, we need to counter the enemy's attack with our own frontal assault called releasing the waves and frequencies of God. Okay? This is stirring yourself up. This is how you overcome. It isn't waiting to be delivered. Your deliverance is in your belly and out of your mouth. The power of life and death is in your tongue, right? So I'm sure everyone here can think of something that's bad either going on or just gone on. And I would recommend for this activity number one that you put your hands on your belly. And I know the destruction I saw this weekend, I've got lots of images in my head. But I know the stuff that I need to, the enemy's pounding me right now. And I believe the Father is singing over me because I got a scripture here. But he's also saying, Wally, release your sound. Release your frequency. Release. So all those who desire to be free, this is a way, we're going to get to some more, we're going to overcome the waves of the enemy. We need to release our own wave. So I'm going to sing for about 20, 30 seconds. As an example for y'all, I recommend that y'all either mute on, mute off. You also rejoice in the Lord over yourself and will come to another place of strength. Okay? So let's go about 30 seconds. Sirare prosirare ki harambu Vatati saro siravirare ki. Sing along with me your victory, or do your own song. But know the Father, the Father, the Father sings over you. The waves of the enemy are not crushing you. They want to, but God is for you, not against you. God is for me, not against me. I will win. I will overcome. Shadirapansito Randi. We are more than conquerors. Okay, well, that was fun. So, you know, we could have done the scripture about David and Ziklag, how he encouraged himself in the Lord when the guys wanted to, he didn't want to do suicide, they wanted to kill him. So that's a bad time when your team wants to kill you. All right, so we're in the middle of Psalm 88, okay, we're at verse 8. You've put my friends far from me. You've made me an object of loathing to them. I am shut up and I cannot go out. When I read this verse, the Lord said, this is just, you know, there's a warfare term called siege, S-E-I-G-E, siege warfare. And that's when the enemy surrounds you. And they try in the olden days, medieval, back then, they would surround your town and they would cut off the supplies of food and water, and they'd wait until you starve to death or you give up, but they'd surround you. And it says here, verse 8, I am shut up and I cannot go out. So this is when they shut, you know, they make it where you want to shut up your defenses and you can't get any help, right? And the Lord said, that's a siege, warfare. We've got to break out through there, okay? So the enemy's trying to surround you, cut you off from good friends, cut you off from worship, cut you off from stuff. He really wants to trick you into saying that it's so tough, you can't rejoice. But don't look on the natural. You have to look beyond and believe that God's for you, not against you. Verse 9, my eyes grow dim with sorrow. They do grow dim with sorrow, but if you will look upon the Lord, your eyes will go brighter, okay? And so again, what we're looking at here is, again, the enemy's coming in, right? And we're learning how to overcome, to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath, okay? Oh Lord, I've called on you every day. I've spread out my hands to you in prayer. Okay, so prayer's good. But believing in the midst of hard times is better. Sometimes our prayers are not believing. Sometimes our prayers are whining. Sometimes our prayers are empty words. So don't be offended. But this is how we're going to overcome. This is how we're going from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from height to height, and taking territory. And just not doing that. Oh, I forgot the words on the side here. Let me pause. Any questions so far? So we're only like halfway through. Any questions on the activity? Any questions on something we looked at? Anything that we want to do? I pause for a moment. Great question. Yeah. Yeah, so what she said was good. Ask for energy. the scripture that comes to mind, I mean, again, so the one ask, one, so everything we do, we ask, believe. So in the natural, you probably do not have strength. You don't. And that's the enemy to get you so fatigued that you don't have strength. But you do always have enough to say, Father, I believe that you're for me. Now, the scripture that I use when I am fatigued is Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. The Amplified says, be strong in the Lord and draw strength from I guess you should look it up. Where's my Bible? That's my Amplified. So you guys look, but it says draw strength from my wells that are non lacking. So when we get this place, we have the option to be strong in the Lord, not strong in ourselves, okay, but strong in Him. Now, this teaching right now is to prepare you to be strong for those times. But when you're down and almost out, you can draw strength from Him, and as you're believing, you will be strengthened so that you can start singing, so that you can believe that He's singing over you, so that your angels come in, so that they lift your head up. But it's a process, right? You feel like it's over. But that breath in you to, Father, I need your help. I believe that your strength's available. I need it now. That'll give you enough strength to, if you will, sit up and start praying in tongues. And we know praying in tongues builds up our inner man. And again, at this point here, you've got to not try to be strong in your natural body. Your natural body feels fatigue. When the guys were, when the disciples were with Jesus, and He says, can you not pray with me 1 hour? They were trying to stand in their natural ability. When there's that much spiritual attack, it weighs on your body, and you feel way exhausted. Even if you've been fully rested, you feel this woof. And if you try to be strong in your own physical strength, emotional strength, you can't stand. That's why the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, let me flip that. You cannot fight a spiritual battle in your natural strength. A lot of us do. I've done that several times. I've gotten beat up. I'm physically very strong and can handle a lot of stuff, but there's some spiritual battles you cannot win naturally. You just can't. You can try all you want. Impossible. But He has made a way called, here I am. Greater is He in you than anything out there. Okay? And so we have to learn that. And so the best thing is to get spiritually strong when you're not in the middle of the battle. Okay, it's hard to train for battle while you're fighting. That's why teaching is so important, that you not only hear it, but you apply it, so that when the waves come, you're like, ha, that's a wave. Gotcha. I'm going to release my wave. Whoa, it works. Right? And so is that good? Sure, please. But again, this message is counsel for those who are in the middle of something right now, or about to face something. Okay, so that's why that paper and pen is really important, you know. And again, you can always re-listen to the video, right, or the whatever this is. Verse 10. Oh, let's see my questions. Nobody else? Yes, okay. On the Lord's Prayer is a good one, too. Verse 10 in Psalm 88. Will you perform your wonders for the dead? This is when we get all... We think we're bad off, and we start thinking, we're down, but we're not out. Shall the departed spirits arise and praise you? No. when you give in, and this, I'm not laughing, I'm kind of laughing because I've done this. I thought if I gave in and I said, okay, not fight anymore, the enemy would lessen the assault. No, the enemy increases the assault, and the pressure gets harder. And so when things were that bad, we have to continually believe the Lord is for us. Again, this is not being emotionally strong. This is not being disciplined. This is learning how to be strong in the Spirit. Now, again, it's not the best to learn it in the middle of the battle. But most of us humans don't learn how to be strong in the Lord until we're fighting something. Okay. This, all of us slow learners, that's me. So, will your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Yeah, but it doesn't help then. Or your faithfulness in the underworld? Yep, still true. What I believe it means is, when things are hopeless, does your word still work? Yes. Does it seem like it works? No, but you still have to believe. If you're physically exerted, your body will shut down and actually go numb. But it doesn't mean you can't still hold on. And you got to tell yourself, I know hands, you don't feel the bar or the thing there, but I'm telling you, don't stop holding. Just keep holding. Because I say so. Not because you feel it. And that's, we can do that to our bodies. We can speak to our soul. Our soul which is troubled, our soul which is overwhelmed. That's why in the Psalms it says, oh soul, why are you so whatever? And your spirit man can talk to your soul and say, dude, hang in there. Your soul goes, I feel bad like dying. Don't die. We're going to live. We're going to get through this. Okay. Verse 12. Will your wonders be known in darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? This place, the land of forgetfulness, is not a good place. It's a bad land. This is a place where people get thrown into who start losing their thoughts and minds when they hit some age. We're not, God's design for us is to actually get wiser with time. The world and the enemy's design for us is to get more forgetful with time. I know of a friend that... she went to see her grandma, hadn't seen her in a couple years, and her mom did not remember her. And my friend was a fairly new believer, and she just got mad because she wanted her grandmother to know her. And she basically said, Grandma, come out of wherever you are and come back. And she just kind of yelled it. She didn't even say Jesus' name in there. She just yelled it. And her grandmother snapped back and said, oh my gosh, honey, it's you. And her mind was clear. And so my young friend, she didn't understand what happened. And later on, the Lord showed her this verse, Psalm 88, verse 12, and said, your grandmother was trapped in the land of forgetfulness, and you brought her out of there. And now that she's not abiding in forgetfulness, she has her mind, and she has her knowledge, and she can remember. And I just heard that a few weeks ago, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not going to believe for all of those things that people say happen to you when you get older. I'm going to believe for the land of the living. I'm going to believe and not be a victim of age, victim of stuff. I'm not going to be a victim of bad foods. I'm not going to be a victim of whatever. I'm going to do my communion, and I'm not going to knowingly eat GMO stuff, and if I do knowingly eat it, I'm going to bless that food and transfigure it. I'm going to use every wave in me of life to conquer death, so there's no death in me, drive me towards that land of forgetfulness. Okay? We cannot be passive as believers. We have to be on the offensive, not be offensive to people, but don't let the enemy just slap you around, especially when you have knowledge of the strategies of the enemy, which is what we're doing here. We're unveiling what the enemy is doing. Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. When you find out something the enemy is doing, not only should you overcome, but you should share the way you overcame as a testimony to other people, so that we all can be victorious. Okay? That's what this teaching is. I learned something, I'm now sharing with you guys, so that now you can go, take that devil, I'm not going down, I'm going up. For I've cried out to you, bad stuff, why have you rejected me? The Lord never rejects you, you think so, but it's not so. Why do you hide your face from me? He didn't hide his face. It feels like that, but that's unbelief, and we don't walk in unbelief. The Bible says we live by faith. Okay, that's how we overcome, by faith. Okay. Activity number two. Yay, we love activities. Read the verse. So the verse 17, they have surrounded me like a flood, flood waters all day long. They have completely encompassed me. Okay, again, this is that surrounding. When our mind, we feel like something's around our head, the enemy wants to surround us that everywhere we look, we don't see God. Well, in the natural, you probably don't, but we're not called to live by external. We got to live with it from the inside out. So activity two, you need to counter the enemy surrounding and incapacitating you. So the first activity is you need to learn how to surround yourself, okay, with him by being in Yahweh. Romans 13, for those with pen and paper, Romans 13, verses 12 and 14. This is a way to deal with when you feel surrounded by the enemy, surrounded by circumstances, surrounded by bad thoughts, surrounded by a migraine, so surrounded by anything, okay? Verse 12. This present age, or the night, is almost gone, and the day is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness. Okay, let's fling away the thing which is surrounding us, and put on the armor of light. What? There's an armor of light? Yes, there is. And so, when you're feeling whatever, put on the light, okay? How do I do that? Well, just like you put on a shirt, or a coat, or a sports bra, or a regular bra, or shorts, whatever, you actively did it. So, I'll recommend is, did I stop here? Oh, this is cool. Right here on time. I used to do this for a while. I would put on the armor of light for a long time because I wanted to live in the light and not just, I wanted to walk in the light. So I wanted to renew my mind on this. So I got this is my tallit, okay? But you can use a blanket, you can use a jacket, and what I would do is I'd read the scripture and I'd say, put on the armor of light. And I'd say, Father, thank you for that. And I'd put on the light like this. I would cast off darkness, put on the light. I'd cast off darkness, put on the light. And I did that for 21 days, like every night before bed, to where I got used to keeping on light and actively throwing off darkness. Okay? Not just running around going, I can't wait to get to my next conference, because in that conference, that the presence, the worship, I'll receive an impartation to cast off the cares of my shoulders. Well, you can wait for the next conference, or the next service, or the next deal, or you can take responsibility and say, Father, your word says, I'm putting on your light, and I'm going to live free from darkness and cast off darkness. So, if you want to, you could grab a shirt or jacket or something and put it on your head and cast off darkness, and then put on light. I looked pretty stupid when my daughter walked in one night and watched me do that, but I feel pretty good because I have now the habit that I formed that I'm not waiting for the enemy just to throw junk on me. If junk comes on me, I fling off the works of darkness, and I put on light, because I'm walking in light. The second part of that verse, now, so verse 14 says, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we got light to put that on, when the enemy starts to surround me, I put on my light, I can now clothe myself in Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh, right? And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its improper desires. So if you got bad thoughts circling you, if you got stuff that's dark, you can throw off the darkness, put on the light, and then you can clothe yourselves. I used to get a blanket. I don't have a blanket. Blanket. There's a blanket. I would get a blanket. And this was great. I was doing this in the wintertime. And I would clothe myself in just his embrace. I would think about his goodness. I would think about his love. And I would kind of snuggle in Jesus. I would clothe myself in Jesus. When things, when people didn't like me, when they didn't like my first book that I wrote, and I was getting all kind of whatever bad stuff, that was the season that I was clothing myself with Jesus. Jesus loves me. His arms were represented by a blanket. It wasn't this blanket, it was a different blanket. But you can do these kind of activities to remind yourself of the truth. The truth is, we can put on Jesus, not just when it's bad times, when it's good times. We need to realize who we're in. In Him we live, in Him we live and move and have our being, right? What do you need to do to remind yourself who you are so that you don't get driven into forgetfulness, but you stay in your identity and grow more so? That, oh, I've got the armor of light, I can throw darkness off, I can put on Jesus. Oh my gosh, this lifestyle is awesome. But if you live a lifestyle of just letting circumstance have their way, you're not having a very good day, month, year, or life. Okay? Any thoughts, questions on that? So I drink my little bottle of water. There you go. Okay. So, another thing when the enemy is trying to surround you, I call this my Joshua 1:8 principle. It's actually two verses, but in Joshua 1:8 it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read it and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it, all that's written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll be successful. I memorized that scripture back in 1981 or 82. And it's a great verse. It's a great verse to help you learn about meditating. It's a great verse to help you to memorize scripture. It's a great verse. Probably 3 years ago, I was thinking on this verse. The Lord said, the book of the law is just not the Bible. But that's true. The book of the law is every prophetic words spoken of your life, every Holy Spirit highlighted scripture that He's brought revealed to you, and every word from His mouth that He's whispered to your heart. If you will write those down, put them in a journal or your book, that becomes your book. In the midst of a hard time, if you'll go to that prophecy and go, I've been called for such times as this. My future is so bright, I need sunglasses. You go through and read those prophecies. And you go through and you read those scriptures that mean a lot to you. Ephesians 2:10 means a lot to me. I've got to walk in good works which He created for me. And you go through it, everything that the Father has spoken to you, you know, you shall live and not die. Or the verse that I said to you guys on here, that the more I know, the more I can go. He whispered that to me. So if you compile those prophetic words, those things you studied, the things He's whispered in your ear, if you put them together, that becomes your book. And if you will read those, think about them, meditate them, keep them in your mouth and in front of you, your way will be prosperous and you'll be successful. Okay? And that's kind of a homework activity. Start compiling all those words you have for you, right? Because 1 Timothy 1:18 says, this charge I commit to you, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, by those you may have a mighty, you may perform war and have a good warfare. A good warfare is a war you win. Okay? So Paul is telling Timothy, dude, you got a lot of prophecies of your life. Use those when the enemy starts speaking bad things against you or when it doesn't look right. Use those words and have a great warfare. If you use those prophetic words, you will win that fight. Okay? So, good stuff to do, guys. Okay? Bill Johnson does that, and so does Wally Johnson. Anyway. So if Bill and Wally do it, we recommend y'all do it. Okay? So, good things to do, right? Yes, it is. Okay, good. So, excuse me. The last verse in that 18 verses says, lover and friend you have placed far from me. Now, that's the enemy, not God. My familiar friends are in darkness. Now, this tells you, that last line there tells you, this isn't the God, is it not the Creator loving God that's working against this, doing all this stuff? Because we know in the first verse we read early on, which I can't find in my notes, in a feet, where'd it go? Not there. I think it was Ephesians something. Yeah. Ephesians 5:8. It says, for once you were darkness. The last verse here in Psalm 88:18 says, my familiar friends are in darkness. Well, not only is that familiar spirits, but those are folks that don't believe, as in not believing that God's for them. They're not necessarily evil. They're just not having their mind in the right place. Or folks that are still in darkness. We're not supposed to think like them. We're not supposed to hang out with them. Now we can go get them and take them out of darkness, right? But don't stay there. If you look at them based on their, look at your life based upon their perspective, their opinion, you will be, you'll have familiar friends of darkness. But we're not darkness anymore. We are sons of God. We are children of light. We go into darkness and we just release. We radiate and we help get people out of darkness, right? That's who we are now, okay? Any thoughts and questions on our armor of light? Looking at circumstances of the Spirit? Putting on Jesus? Creating your own book of the law, right? Warring according to prophecy? Thoughts, comments? Yeah. I didn't answer it, but that's why the script... We're going to answer it now, though, because good question. Why do we got to do stuff if we are stuff, right? I am. Well, because sometimes we forget, right? The Bible says we need to renew our mind, right? So if we got to renew our mind, we have to remember who we are, right? So the exercise that I went through of, you know, taking a blanket and wrapping around me was to remind me that I am clothed in Jesus. Okay? To remind me of a true spiritual reality. Now, my head, my degree in engineering, my very logical reason said, no, you're not. You are, you know, you're sitting in your bedroom and you are just doing stuff. You know, you're making stuff up. And all the demons who are walking around going, uh-oh, he's actually living what he believes and not just thinking about it, right? So we got to move from just mental assent to a full belief system. To help me, things I do to make me remind myself who I am, like all of my passwords, whether my computer password or combinations or whatever, they're all things like, I have one that's like, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's very long because now passwords are now longer than 8 characters, right? I have a password that I had 6 months, a year ago that was, you know, small case, a new son of, and God was capitalized, right? But I do a lot of things. Even the shirt I wear now, it's a Superman shirt. You see, I've got, wow, look here. I've got probably 20 hats, probably 25 shirts, because when I think of the Superman emblem and the movies I've seen, I identify with, okay, Superman from another planet, Wally Johnson from another planet. His father sent him to Earth. My father sent me to Earth. I can go through and look at parallels that remind me of who I really am. Then I can act that way, right? And that's how we're called to live. Does that make more sense? Yeah. Now, the thing that's funny is just, so like I said, I have all these shirts, and I was down in Louisiana this weekend. I just got back from doing disaster flood relief work. And in one of the houses that we were at, this guy pulls up, and he's got four refrigerator, some units that got stuff in them. And so we, this wasn't me down there. So the car pulls up, and some of the ladies were there. You know, Wally, it's a job for you. and so the day before, I was actually wearing my, and I have it on now, I was wearing my Superman watch. And I had, anyway, so I walked over there, and this was the wildest day. Now, I talk Superman, I talk about being strong, Lord. I talk. But I'm telling you, this freaked me out. I went over there, this guy is standing there like, can you help me? And I go, yes, right? And I grab this thing and just throw it like it's a cardboard box. And I'm like going, who am I? And I do that for three other items, like it was just nothing, you know? The guy's looking at me, my three people are looking at me like, and there was this silence, and I walked away. Now, the thing that was important wasn't the fact that I got to play Superman, was the individual who saw me do that was having identity problems with, you know, men can do this, and Christians usually don't act manly, and I'm a man, and da-da-da-da, right? So this guy sees this me act manly, right? Do something manly, right? And then he gets off the truck and is arguing with the other Christians about why he can drink. And then he goes and gets his bottle of beer. And he's got this big thing, right? And so I'm just kind of watching. So meanwhile, another lady says, Wally, I see a spirit of Python on the guy. And I'm thinking, well, then go deal with it. Wally, go deal with the spirit of Python. Now, my mind is not totally renewed. So when she said that, I'm thinking I'm actually going to wrestle and maybe physically handle this guy, right? So I go over to the circle because he's gone from just discussing to arguing, and he is drunk, right? And so I'm standing there thinking, okay, I can tackle him. I'm going to throw him down. Just like I threw the refrigerators, I'm going to throw him down on the ground, right? So that's my unrenewed mind, which is about to do that, right? In Jesus' name, right? And I'm going to confront flesh with flesh, my stronger flesh with his weaker flesh, I think, right? So before I do that, this girl standing next to me, she's 14 years old, and she says to the guy who's yelling, she says in a very quiet voice, she says, can I pray for you? It was so, I'm standing right next to her. I could barely hear her myself. I'm thinking, no, she says, I pray. She says, can I sing over you? And I'm like, singing? This is a time for something, not singing. And she sings this very quiet love song over this guy. And I'm like going, that's not going to work. I need to jump him now. You know, this guy starts bawling. I mean, this is, it was like floods, you know. And I'm going like, whoa, you know, that's good. That's working. And as soon as the girl finishes singing, I feel instead of, you know, hitting the guy, which was on my list of things to do, I go from hitting the guy to giving this guy this a massive hug, not crushing hug, but a firm hug. And now I'm whispering in his ear, and the only person who can hear really is me and the guy. I'm saying, you are a man of God. Now, I could smell. I mean, he was a brewery. It was bad. Not only was he stinking from sweat, but the alcohol was there. So now I'm holding this guy in a bear hug, which he cannot break for sure, and I'm whispering in his ear, dude, like Gideon, you're a mighty man in God. God is not counting your wrongs against you. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. He sees you as mighty. He sees you as a man. He sees you. And I go, I say something else. Then I let go, and the guy's, you know, crying on my shoulder and crying, you know, and I'm thinking like, okay, I'm done, because I'm about to be undone right there, right? So I go back, you know. All I'm saying is, because of a lot of confession, well, I think, because of a lot of confession and a lot of believing, I walked in a level of might, I walked in a level of love that I had never been in, but I've been talking it up for a while. And I was actually being who I was supposed to be and not just talking about it. But I know talking about it helps, because we have to become in agreement with what God wants to do. If we're not in agreement, spirit, soul, and body, I think it doesn't work. So, that's what I know. Well, so, but, right. Yeah. Yep. 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 Yep.